talk.
The Steve Cochran Show.
No action.
And no good rotten traitor.
This guy's favorite radio broadcast.
You're right about that.
Has traveled to Iowa.
I think they made a mistake.
To bring you live coverage of the Iowa caucuses.
A total lightweight.
Back to Chicago's top-rated morning show.
Here's a guy. He's registered zero in the poll. Zero.
On 720 WGN.
For some reason, some people don't get it.
Yes, Mr. Trump and I continue to be best friends as we continue live. We are in Des Moines, and there's not a lot of us left. A lot of the national media has busted down and headed for New Hampshire. After what turned out to be a pretty remarkable night, Pat Brady's here. Andrea Darlis is here. Andrea's going to go out and wander the streets this morning a little bit.
I am. Hopefully I can find some people out there.
Last night.
Everyone's bunkered in now.
Yeah, last night we were at one of the main caucuses in downtown Des Moines at a museum.
We were at the Iowa State Historical Museum.
Right, and we talked to a lot of folks who, frankly, were just trying to caucus, who were subject to the onslaught of media around the world.
Yeah.
Pat, you talked to somebody from Japan.
Yes, I did.
And they wanted you to leave them alone.
And they
I asked him if Godzilla was really true, and he didn't think that was fun.
Pat, they can't caucus.
He was interviewing the other media.
Yeah.
Is Tim McGill going to join us? Because we had a question, too, about the weather as we head back home today to see if we could actually be on the air tomorrow.
I think, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be okay.
The two people that had the biggest nights last night, though, are fairly clear, Marco Rubio and Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats' race was ridiculously close, razor thin. Several of the counties, Pat, you were saying, were decided by a coin flip?
Yeah, that's how they do it. If it's a tie, you do it by a coin flip.
So the idea that the Clintons would have declared a victory as early as they did seemed risky and kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it kind of plays into the narrative that Clintons play by their own rules, and she did it fairly early.
Right.
Even APA, I don't even think, has called this race. So kind of risky move. I mean, I can see how you do that sometimes and create the narrative that you won, but it didn't really work from what you see from today's headlines.
Well, you know, it's the problem that Hillary Clinton continues to have is a likability problem and a trust problem. The likability problem extends to the media. You know, there's not this great love for it's kind of ironic when you think about it. There's a greater love for Bill Clinton than there is for Hillary Clinton, considering what went down literally and figuratively. I don't know that makes a lot of sense. But Hillary doesn't have a great level of warmth in the media because, I saw MSNBC types going after her. What do you mean they declared a victory? So the fact of the matter is, the morning after, the night before, where a lot of what we thought was blown up in Iowa turned out to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the belief that Donald Trump could just fly in here and win was blown up last night. You need to actually campaign. You need to organize like Ted Cruz did in 99 counties.
And you need to show up for debates.
You need to show up for debates. And I think that might be a preview of what might happen in New Hampshire, because New Hampshire's the same way. You have to get there, shake hands, people have to know you.
Ted Cruz had 12,000 volunteers at one point.
Yeah, he had it covered, and the thing that I think stands out as well is not just the fact that Trump doesn't show up for the debate. I think the treatment of women and the insult to women has come back. I'd like to see the gender split on the vote, because my guess is the percentage of women that were expected to vote for Trump isn't anywhere close.
Yeah, on the Democrat side, it's the thing I saw this morning, a statistic, 80% of the under 30 voters that came out last night, 80% voted for Bernie Sanders.
How about that?
That is interesting. And, yeah,
by comparison.
We probably interviewed half of them, too.
Yeah, by comparison, so President Obama only got 57% of the under 30-year-olds, although more turned out for him.
We'll have some experts on the state of Iowa to kind of explain this in a deeper dive. David Yepsen, who is now with the, and I always get the title wrong, but it's the Paul Simon Institute for Paul Simon Stuff at the University of Illinois. Dennis Goldfarb is another expert on this process and the primary process in general. And both are good guests because they explain it without putting you to sleep. Mm-hmm. But in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, a very special guest. Young broadcaster, came out of Iowa.
Oh, I've heard of this guy.
Yeah, just making his way in the world. He's now an intern for Conway Twitty. In Nashville. Spike O'Dell.
And a seat filler, I believe, at the Country
He's
Music Hall
a seat
of
filler
Fame
as
Awards.
Well. Spike O'Dell. Oh, by the way, speaking of seat fillers,
there
apparently was some sort of altercation at the last Bush rally where one of the seat fillers hadn't been paid.
Oh.
Yeah. Not a good sign.
You got to pay your voters. We know that, right? You got to get them paid.
By the way, and I know we'll talk about this throughout the program too. We need to talk about the Bush rally that we went to yesterday, and I use the term rally very loosely.
Yeah, you're talking about when we walked by that one place where the four people were.
Something like that. Oh, yeah. The enthusiasm. You could hear it with. Oh wait, couldn't really hear a lot of that.
$2,300 a vote.
Is that what the math worked out to? And what's a good, not even an overwhelming, surprising win? Like for a candidate to do really well, what should you have per vote? What should your dollar figure be? A couple hundred bucks?
I don't know. It's so skewed now because it's
200
so much
bucks, money. 300 bucks, 400 bucks?
It's walking around.
$12?
I don't know. It's
money you could have in your pocket.
Exactly.
Okay. Later on as well, we're going to talk about this Dan Rather, I don't know, it's not a biopic. It's the story of the story that blew up. And cost Dan Rather his job.
Like a documentary. Almost.
And the legendary 60 Minutes newsman will be on, so we'll ask him about the election as well. Matt Strawn later. And in a second, I want to talk about Donald Trump's concession speech, because I expected him to go off the deep end and lose it, and he pretended that none of it bothered him.
I was there.
I thought you went over. Yeah, was that your hotel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have a big, fat Heineken sitting in the back row.
I should have heard the noise in our hotel. The Clintons have the 8th floor right below where I am.
Hillary.
Is that where they were? They were on 8?
Yeah, they're on 8. They have the 8th floor.
Because Kevin and I were trying to peruse every single floor to find them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they
yeah.
took off fast yesterday. I think it was in the elevator with their luggage.
I think you've seen the last time that Clintons will ever be at Iowa.
You know what? That's probably true. All right, let's do this. Take a break for traffic. We'll come back. We'll continue live from Des Moines. This is courtesy of our friends at ABC News Radio, who have been great to us, and we appreciate that. It's the Iowa caucuses. It's the 2016 election. Back live in Des Moines. It's the Iowa caucuses, your voice, your vote. And Andre Darles here, Pat Brady's here, Kevin's here as well, and lots of guests to break down last night's Iowa caucus vote, as all the candidates are now in New Hampshire begging there. But is Tim McGill standing by? Let's go to Tim for a second. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm jealous that you were in Iowa.
I don't think that's true, but I appreciate you saying that.
I don't either.
So tell us about this storm, and obviously the impact on Chicago looks minimal, huh?
Yeah, it looks like primarily a rain threat for us. We had a little light snow go through our northernmost suburbs this morning, flurries up near the Wisconsin state line. That's pretty much gone, and now we're in a period for the next couple of hours. It should be dry, but late morning towards midday, it looks like rain will be arriving. It could start off still. There's a possibility a little bit of a mix, those same areas that got the snow this morning, but primarily rain, about a half inch to an inch, maybe a thunderstorm, which is pretty rare. I think 1% of February days, going back to 1871, we've had thunder, so we could get a rumble of thunder this afternoon. Mainly rain, a little bit of snow behind the system tomorrow, but when I say little, Steve, I mean like a half inch or less. So rain for us.
Yeah, barely a dusting. All right, now this isn't, I don't want to make this about me, even though, you know, it's about me. But we're traveling back from Des Moines today. We drove, so we'll be on I-80 headed eastbound. Uh-huh. The forecast for Des Moines have varied wildly. Yesterday it was, oh my God, you'll never get out of there alive.
Right.
At times to maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, but a lot of wind. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing about 2 to 6, and what's it doing there right now?
It hasn't started even.
It hasn't even started. It's just to your
well,
south.
Well, no, let me take that back as I look out the
you
window.
You know what? It looks like more of a sleet right now.
Yes,
yeah,
it
I was
started.
Say, our radar is showing kind of a mix for you and then some heavier snow not too far
started.
Off. So, yeah, it's starting. And you're going to – the more you go east, the better off you're going to be. You'll probably start to get into more rain as you get near the Illinois state line. So – you go east and go quickly, and you should outrun it, hopefully.
So on 80, can you tell me the exact Iowa town where it breaks from snow to rain?
The exact Iowa? No, I can't.
Because at that point, I'd like some music to play. And
you went Dr. Zhivago
maybe
in the
Maury,
background.
Well, Maury McGovern. There's got to be a morning after as we're driving.
Somewhere
through.
Near Ottumwa.
Oh,
I see.
Go.
Thank
okay.
you, Radar O'Reilly.
Sure.
All right,
we
thanks.
Laugh,
thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
Good
thank
luck.
You. See you, buddy.
We laugh, but it's so not funny. We're going to be right in this.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Of course it will. You're driving.
And I'll drive fast and well. Kid of the Week coming up here in a little bit. So, Pat Brady and Andrea, last night, one of the things that seemed to be almost a guarantee was that Trump was going to lose his S and trash Iowa and trash everybody he'd met here and do a very juvenile acceptance speech. What does it say about Trump and the Trump campaign, and the fact that maybe he is serious about this when he actually did a concession speech.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can't hurt his brand, so he didn't want to be too big an idiot. And it was a very, you know, nice speech, short, and I was standing there. They had everybody lined up to get out of there as quickly as possible. So he did the right thing. But a lot of the statements he made here in Iowa are going to come back and haunt him, and a lot of statements he made about Iowa are going to come back and haunt him. And I think at one point during this campaign he made fun of anybody that ever got second place. I think he called them a loser. So that's going to come
right
back and haunt him.
Right, and he almost ended up in third. The Rubio speech had a lot of Bill Clinton length to it. Can you call the Rubio people and go, the next time you make a speech about being in third place, it needs to be 5 minutes or less?
I agree. I'm a believer in short speeches, but he hit the points he needed to hit and talked about being the unifying conservative in the conservative Republican Party. So I think he's got a big tailwind going on in New Hampshire. He picked up some endorsements in South Carolina, Tim Scott, the senator from down there. So he's got a lot of momentum going right now.
And Ted Cruz, his speech was fine. He seemed almost surprised that he won. Relieved would probably be a better word. The conservatives absolutely turned out. And
well, not just conservatives, evangelical conservatives. But the problem for Senator Cruz is we go right into New Hampshire, which is not like Iowa in that respect. Now, you go down to South Carolina, it's more like Iowa, but New Hampshire's not. So he's got to tack a little bit and attract. If he's going to do well in New Hampshire, if he even goes to New Hampshire, he's going to change the message a little bit to appeal more to the conservatives that aren't necessarily evangelicals.
And on the Democrat side, it's clearly hope it goes away soon, Hillary time. But how does she make this story go away? Because she's about to get it handed to her in New Hampshire. It would be a dramatic upset if Bernie Sanders doesn't win by 10 points or more.
Yeah, well, that's what they'll do. They'll set the expectations that he had a huge lead and I'm going to lose. And it'll be dictated by how much he wins by if he does win. But to me, the bigger problem for Secretary Clinton is this just ensures that Bernie, who is a socialist, admitted socialist,
yeah,
is going to be in the debates and in this race for a lot longer than she wants, and she's got to keep tacking left to stay with him. And if she doesn't, she'll lose, and she'll ultimately, I think, win, but she's going to go pretty far to the left, and it's going to be tough to come back for the general election.
What were Michael Bloomberg and Joe Biden doing last night?
Yeah, good question.
They have like, is it like the NTSB when they have a crash bag by the door, and they both have bags by the door waiting to see which state they're going to fly to and start showing up?
They have alerts on their phone now. Well, they get dinged every time.
And the problem, too, for her is now she's running as the non-aspirational candidate. Bernie Sanders can promise the moon, and she's going to be saying, oh, we can't do that. That's a long way from hope and change to, well, we can't really do that.
True story.
And then when she says, you know, you got to get somebody that can get something done, she doesn't really have a record to point to where things actually got done. She talks about Hillary care, but that didn't get done. So,
you know what I found interesting last night when we were at the Democratic caucuses? We're going to talk about this too, I know, but everybody I interviewed who was caucusing for Bernie said, well, this might be our last chance to get a vote in for Bernie, and if Hillary gets the nomination, we're okay with that. So I found
that
interesting that a lot of the Bernie supporters said, you know, Bernie's our guy, but we're okay if Hillary gets it.
But okay doesn't translate into in November I'm going to show up and vote for Hillary.
That's true.
True. You got to show up to vote. Absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of the kids I talk to, too, are very nice, and the fact that they're involved were great. They don't have a clue. They don't have any idea what, you know, they're supporting Bernie because he hates Wall Street, and he said my brother could have free tuition. That's
every kid I talk to mentioned free tuition.
Yeah. And you know, when that becomes clear that that can't, well, they're not going to be paying attention when it comes clear that that can't be done. But Bernie has some wind in his sails. Bernie has some wind in his hair. You know what that means when Bernie has wind in his hair. It's not a good look. But congratulations to Bernie Sanders and to Marco Rubio and to Ted Cruz. Those are your three winners from last night. Tough flight on the Trump plane back to New York, I'm thinking. Did you get a chance to talk to Melania?
You know, she kept texting me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's kind of like I got a lot of people chasing me around here, so I got away from her. No, I didn't.
You were trying to be a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I go,
to
hey,
focus.
I got my media creds this time. I got to be.
Melania, not now.
Not now, yeah. Cochran would really get mad at me if I talked.
That's exactly right. Focus. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN. Let you hear a little bit of some of the kids we talked to last night. We're live in Des Moines. I was up late last night.
Yeah, I think we were all up a little late last night. We were watching the caucuses.
We continue now with the big story. Here's Andrea.
Well, this hour's big story, of course, the result of the Iowa caucuses. Who won depends on who you ask on the Democratic side. Hillary Clinton declaring victory last night. All right, and Hillary Clinton, it was a razor-thin lead over Bernie. The votes are still being counted here in Iowa, but the state Democratic Party chair says they're now poised to award more Democrats to Hillary than to Bernie. Either way, now Bernie's calling the nearly too close to call loss a victory, expected to take away a win at their next stop in New Hampshire, a trip that former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley will not be making. He announced last night that he is suspending his campaign. Meanwhile, for the Republican presidential candidates, a big night for Senator Ted Cruz, already receiving congratulations from Trump, who came in second place.
So, Huckabee's out as well.
Huckabee is out as well. Marco Rubio finished a strong third. Huckabee, who won the Iowa caucuses back in 2008, has dropped out of the race. And we're going to be playing for you a little bit later on this morning, perhaps before 7 o'clock, some of the caucuses that we were able to visit last night. The Democratic caucus that we were at the Iowa State Historical Museum was very lively, and they were actually at one point arguing, or I guess trying to woo one final voter in the room to vote either for Hillary Clinton or
was it
Bernie
tied
Sanders.
At that point? So that was the deciding vote?
It was tied at that point, and boy, it was. You want to talk about a caucus raucous.
Well, I'll give you a sense, too, when we'll play this before 7,
yeah.
Before the top of the hour. But it'll give you a sense of what actually goes on at these things.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. I mean, you've seen pictures, you've seen the videos on television, but to actually be in the room, a packed room, where one side of the room is trying to argue for one candidate, the other candidate, and they're standing on folding chairs trying to make their point. It's very interesting.
And they started hitting each other. It was crazy.
They didn't hit each other.
Okay,
but
I probably added that part.
It was a very lively and spirited debate that they had. So that is this hour's big story. Let's get a check of traffic now, and here's Mary.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, we do it every, Tuesday? Tuesday morning at 6:40. And you know the best way to nominate a Kid of the Week?
Facebook, WGNRadio.com.
And Twitter.
Social media, yeah.
Bring the kid by the window and say, this kid's great. Doesn't have to be a kid you know even. Could be a kid you've heard about. Pat Brady, I nominate all of your kids Kid of the Week.
You know, and I second that. I'm very proud of them. Last night during the election, I got tweets or texts from all of them asking them what was going on. So I fully immersed them in politics.
Which is great.
Their therapist will be going to be happy about
it. Yeah, they'll have therapy down the road. And I'll nominate Ross and Amy. Oh, did I mention Amy's birthday?
I don't think they are eligible.
Yeah. But today, so is it Kirsten or Kristen? Kirsten Nicosia. I think that's close. And do we have Doreen or Kirsten on the line right now? Kirsten, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do I have your name right? Is it Kristen or Kirsten?
Kirsten.
Kirsten. So, in other words, I was wrong all the way around.
It's okay.
So, how old are you?
I'm 17.
So, I put you as a junior?
I'm a senior.
Senior. Okay. What are you going to do next year?
Hopefully going away to University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I already got accepted in. It's just about, all the financials and stuff.
Sure, sure. What are you going to study?
I'm hoping to go into pre-med.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Don't mind that music. Am I the only one hearing that music? I'm hearing music on the air. we've been in Iowa for a couple of days. Anything's possible.
This is heaven. It's not just Iowa.
At any rate, there's tons of things that I have to brag about you for. You don't mind if I brag about you a little bit, do you?
I guess. I have no clue what's going on, to be honest.
Well, Doreen Wilson nominated you for Kid of the Week. Tell me who Doreen is.
My mom.
Yep. That's correct. You've won a new car. you've overcome a lot of tough things in your life, and you've taken on a lot of responsibilities that kids your age might not have to take on. And you keep giving back to others, and I know how much your mom means to you and your family means to you, but you're always helpful, respectful, and kind, and you help out with everybody, and office work, and doing errands, and running around, and always have a smile on your face. And sometimes it's as simple as that when you face tough stuff in life. To be able to, just say, listen, you deserve to be recognized for that. So, anyway, merit scholarships and financial aid and all of that that you've accrued as well from all the hard work you've done and all the volunteerism and school and church and work. We just wanted to recognize you for being a great kid.
Thank you.
So your kid of the week.
Oh, wow.
Now, if at any point she doesn't live up to her duties as kid of the week, we'll have a backup kid of the week from Pat's family.
Oh,
yeah, they'll step in. But congratulations. We're going to send you a bunch of prizes, and I know you're going to be great in Milwaukee, at UW Milwaukee. And you like pizza? Are you a pizza fan?
Yeah, I love pizza.
All right. Well, let's start there. Let's get you some pizza from our friends at Lou Malnati's. Let's also get you a bunch of snacks and things from Sweet Alley, Chicago's only dedicated and certified gluten-free bakery located in Hinsdale at sweetalice.com, A-L-I-S.com. What else have I got for you here? Take your time, Steve. We're live. You a sports fan?
Yeah, I'm a big sports fan.
What do you like best? Who's your favorite Chicago team?
Between the Hawks and the Bears.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's give you a 3x4-foot official Chicago Blackhawks team throw rug. Going to be perfect for your dorm room. And it's courtesy of Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can be floored. Visit iwantabefloored.com. And let's take care of your mom, too, with the ChevyDriveChicago.com, a WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. You know, it's a little bit just to say thanks for being a great kid and taking care of your family.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You hold on, okay?
Okay.
Kid of the Week entries. Go to WGNRadio.com. Just search Kid of the Week and go from there. That's a simple way to go about it. Of course, you can call us anytime we're on the air. And if you have my cell phone, feel free to call me, and I'll tell you to call Kevin. All of that for Kid of the Week. Let's see. It is 6:44. We'll come back, play a little bit of live sound from last night's caucuses, and give you a sense of what goes on to determine votes here. Again, the big winners last night, if you're just waking up. Ted Cruz wins on the Republican side. Hillary Clinton by this much, even though there's still outlets not declaring her the winner. Hillary Clinton the winner on the Dem side. But Bernie Sanders and Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, those are the stories coming out on the positive side. And Donald Trump, a big disappointing night last night. That's one of your negative stories. So Trump and Hillary on the negative side, the others on the positive. As we continue live from Des Moines, this is Steve Cochran. Back live in Des Moines. So here's the scene. We go to this museum last night in downtown Des Moines where there is both Democrat and Republican caucuses. And I think they expected a smaller number of people. The turnout last night, Pat Brady, was large across the state, right?
Yeah, for Republicans, a record turnout, 185,000 people. Democrats, a big turnout, but the record certainly when President Obama was here in 2008. But big night. A lot of college student turnout, too.
Yeah, when you say the crowd we saw was much younger?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of young people, yeah.
So you were in a caucus room, and they were going to throw you out, but you got some sound from the caucus fight that was going on over the last vote. So in other words, the room was tied. How many people were in the room? 30, 40, 50, 100?
Oh, God, no. There was probably 150 people in the room.
So somehow it ends up 75-75.
Yeah.
And there's a deciding vote. And the first clip we're going to hear is the Hillary argument?
Yeah, the first clip we're going to hear is the Hillary argument. This woman got up on a chair, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to
stand on a chair.
Well, you're supposed to get the attention of the room, and she did so by standing on a chair. You can jump up and down. There were people waving their hands up in the air. But strangely, it is orderly. You know, this is...
Where was I when this was going on?
Very respectful.
It is respectful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were outside talking, talking to drifters outside while you guys were in a caucus.
You guys were standing in the vestibule, and no, I was in there. I was trying to find you three guys, and then I was in there, and I couldn't leave. You know, once you're watching the argument.
Yeah, you're sucked in. That's how they get you.
I could not leave the room, and I wanted to see who was going to win, too.
Here's a fight for Hillary.
I want to say hello to our uncommitted attendees.
So here's my main question to the unsupported.
Apparently they're finding the chair she's standing on this one.
Okay, I got this. All right.
But this room is just jam packed. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. No, fair enough. Okay. Well, I guess my main question would be is, what are you concerned about?
Okay, that's not the part that we wanted to hear. That was the beginning part where she started to raucous, and after that, when they said, stand on the chair, that's when she stood on the chair and said, look, and that was the Bernie supporter, by the way. So she was, before that, somebody had stood up and said, you know what, Hillary Clinton is going to lead this revolution. And that's when she was just, you know, arguing and yelling and yelling and yelling. And then somebody else said, well, I think Bernie would be a better candidate because. And that's when they said, stand on the chair. And she stood on the chair. And after that, you would have heard her saying,
okay, well, let's get
Bernie
it.
Is
let's get it.
Bernie
we got
is
it.
The man.
Okay. All right, roll it.
She's the revolution. She's been a revolution all her life. She will make it work. She will work with those who have not been willing to work with others. She knows the drill. She understands the issues. She will be there every day.
Yeah.
We have so many problems during this campaign. I want to say a little something to our uncommitted attendees.
So that was Hillary. And now you're going to hear what we just heard.
All right. And tell me when you have Bernie
said,
ready.
On the chair. Yeah, and it was after that she got on the chair. And
here comes the Bernie side of the argument.
Because without you can answer any question that you might have better than she can or any other Hillary supporter can. Because the thing, the things that Senator Sanders are interested in are things that he's been interested in the entire time he's been in office. There isn't anything that he ever says any differently. He votes the same way. He's consistent. He doesn't vote on Iraq and then say the Iraq war is bad. No, the Iraq war is just bad. That's why he didn't vote on it.
Right, so that's where she stops, and
see, the thing
that's
I didn't
her
know,
argument.
The thing I didn't know was the heckling. Like, you get the audience, the other people in the room going, giggling and laughing. It's not like a comedy club. They sound like hecklers.
No, it really is. It really is. But while they're standing up on their chair and while she's really trying to get her point across, you know, they are respectful and listening. You get the occasional, yeah, you know, go Hillary, go Bernie. But it's so cool to watch this because it's like sitting in a classroom. It's like, you know, sitting in a high school classroom. This room was a little bit bigger because they did have about 150 people in there because it was 70. I think it was 71-71, and they were looking for the final vote to skew, which the room did go to Hillary.
It did go to Hillary.
It did go to Hillary.
Okay, so they let you stay long enough to see the results.
Yeah, which was cool. And now this was a fast room. Where we were in the museum, there were three Democratic caucuses going on the main floor, and then two Republican caucuses upstairs on the third floor. Their rooms were much smaller. The Democratic classrooms, it just happened to be that way. It wasn't
right.
Like a favoritism.
Right.
That's how they set it up at this particular location.
We also have some people who were milling around, standing in line to vote, and you get a sense of who they were supporting and why were they supporting those folks. We'll get to some of that sound a little bit later on as well. But let's take a break, come back, take it to the 7 o'clock hour. Where are you going this morning?
I'm going to put my snow boots on because now I'm looking outside and now the
blizzard. Yeah, it's pretty bad in Des Moines right now. Yeah,
so I'm going to put my snow boots on and I'm going to go back to Java Joe's. That's where all the candidates were yesterday. That's the place to be. It's just about a block away. And I'm going to see if there's any remnants today of candidates or supporters.
I would assume the Morning Joe show is still from there.
I don't know. I would think so.
Right. Most of the national media is not getting out of Des Moines based on what we're looking at outside the window
right
now.
The
airport in Des Moines is probably quite the mess. Coming up, David Yepsen, too, a preeminent expert on all things related to Iowa and Iowa-Illinois politics. Politics throughout the Midwest, for that matter. We'll get to Mr. Yepsen on the way as well. So once you start dressing in your spacesuit now.
I'm going to go put this on now.
We'll take a break, come back. This is 720 WGN.
All right.
Steve Cochran live in Des Moines. Pat Brady's here. Andrea's suiting up to go out into the blizzard and see if anybody's left in Des Moines this morning. And biggest surprise for you last night, Pat Brady, was what?
How well Marco Rubio did. I know he was surging at the end, but he really, really, I mean, it's only a couple thousand votes that separate him. And I got to tell you, and you mentioned it earlier, the biggest surprise, Trump's concession speech was pretty good. He didn't shoot himself in the foot, and he's got to move on. But so those were the two big surprises to me.
What are you hearing about the Trump organization? Because he's still the fascinating, shiny thing in the room. Because I had a sense that he wasn't listening to anybody. Somebody had to get in his head last night and go, you're not going to go out there and be an ass. You're going to go out there and you're going to say, thank you, Iowa.
Well, one thing we've learned, if you didn't already know it about him, is he knows how to read a crowd and read a television audience. But what we did learn last night is you can't run as a Kardashian candidate in a state like Iowa and just be on TV. And I just saw a blurb. He spent more money on Make America Great hats than he did on voter data or outreach. And Professor Yepsen will be on here in just a minute. He can tell you about how important that is here and in New Hampshire and in other states. So,
the analytics matter then, the data you collect on who you're talking to and who you need to talk to.
Yeah, and it's gotten so sophisticated with all the consumer information that's out there, they can really target two individual voters. The apps we even used in the 2014 governor race, it's amazing how micro-targeted you can get in trying to get your voters out. And apparently he didn't do any of that. And Cruz, to his credit, had 99 county chairs, got the evangelicals out, and he won. Like Matt Strong was talking about, it's better to have your neighbor come into the meeting and endorse.
That was a very important point made yesterday. Matt Strong, former RNC chair for Iowa. And we heard a little bit of that there on the sound. The person that stands up for you at these caucuses, if it's somebody that you know or respect, it's to some extent more important than what they're talking about. It's like my buddy, my friend down the street, my girlfriend here or there, they're talking about, so I trust their opinion.
Yeah, just common sense would dictate that. But if you don't put the time and effort to put that person in the room, you're not going to win. And,
right.
And the interesting thing, too, about last night was the big turnout, but everybody thought the big turnout meant Trump was going to win it. Actually, I believe the big turnout was the evangelicals that helped Cruz.
So a lot of what we thought would happen in Iowa turned out to actually happen.
We're always wrong.
Well, we try to keep ahead of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And we outthink the process, and it looks like Iowa delivered kind of the way Iowa has delivered in the past.
Yeah, common sense, prevailed last night. And nothing's the bigger point, nothing's really changed. You have to come campaign to win.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if he's going to go to New Hampshire and thinks he can do the same thing there, he might have a bad night.
Yeah, he may actually have to stay in New Hampshire a couple of nights and walk around and shake some hands.
He won't do it.
I don't think he will.
I don't think he's capable of doing it. No.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
Faithfully execute the office of President.
President.
President of the United States.
The United States.
So help me God.
Nobody covers 2016. The candidates, the election, the decision. Like 720 WGN. Back to the Steve Cochran Show live from the Iowa caucuses.
We're live in the media center, and we're also live in downtown Des Moines, where a blizzard has decided to hit. Turns out that wasn't just hype. That turned out to be actual and factual. Later, Matt Strawn, former RNC chair for Iowa, will be on. He will be on with Rick Pearson on Sunday, on the Sunday Spin, as will our next guest, who's been on this show many times, David Yepsen. And David Yepsen, nice to see you again.
Good to be with you.
Former national political reporter for the Des Moines Register. And by the way, what happened with the poll?
What happened with all the
polls? It's never wrong.
What happened with all the polls?
But the Register poll is never wrong. I mean, almost ever, right?
One of the things that happens with polls of caucuses is that they overlook the process itself, where you're in a meeting. Okay, you're not voting. You're in a neighborhood meeting. And what do you do when people get in there? They talk politics.
Yep.
And if I respect your political judgment, Steve, and you tell me that, you know, Rubio is better than Cruz, I might change my mind.
Right.
There's no way a pollster...
You can't ask that question and get that, can you? You can't measure that. David Yepsen, also director of the Paul Simon Institute at SIU Carbondale, which means I was feeling sorry for myself, thinking I had to drive back to the western suburbs today. You actually have a 48-hour drive, if my calculations are right.
It's a 9-hour drive on a good day.
So it should be interesting on the roads.
And Paul Simon would have never spent $1.2 million on Make America Great hats, I'm guessing.
Well, David just made a great point, Pat, off the air. This is not new. This is the Jesse Jackson show. This is a celebrity comes to Iowa and thinks he doesn't have to do the regular stuff.
Well, when I've covered these campaigns out here for 34 years, and when Jesse Jackson was running in 1984 and then again in 1988, he would get these huge crowds. And everybody was, wow, this is really something, because it was largely white crowds. And,
right.
And he was tapping into a lot of angst that farmers were feeling at that time, the farm crisis. But there was a difference between showing up to look at a candidate and then going out to caucus. And even in this case with Trump, I thought a lot of those people would show up at the caucuses, and many of them did, but frankly, there were people in Iowa who would go and look at his events. Hey, this is great, entertainer, saw him on TV, but then they had no interest in turning out for caucuses. So these big crowds that Trump gets were a little bit misleading.
I think there's something that Iowa ought to be proud of, though, this morning, and that is that the national media, well, all of us, not just the national media, we all got it wrong in jumping to this conclusion that that would translate, that those large crowds were so moved by the miracle of Trump that they would come out and spend their evening doing the same. It is a show.
It is, and Trump got a good look at by people. That's the thing about these caucuses. I mean, candidates have to spend time here. People get a real look at them up close several times. They talk to their neighbors. This was a big turnout, both parties. And, you know, I just think Trump's shtick kind of wore thin after a while. He got some evangelical votes, but this guy was not a candidate that fit well with Iowa Republicans. Marco Rubio was the one who, a long time ago, I predicted he would do well because he puts together a very nice package, appeals to a lot of people.
Were you surprised that it took Rubio so long to make that run? Because the momentum, I refuse to say Marco-mentum. Will you call someone and tell them to knock that off? The momentum for him seemed to kick in the last few days.
But that was by design.
Is that right?
He played it perfectly. The thing you don't want to do in an Iowa caucus is peak too soon.
Yeah.
Because then people start shooting at you and your poll numbers go down. That started to happen to Cruz. So Rubio timed it just right. He kind of flew under the radar, came in here a lot at the very end, and it came together for him nicely.
Cruz took some punches in the face here in the last 10 days or so and proved that he could take a punch. Now, will that translate to him going to New Hampshire, you think, given that the base of his support here was basically evangelicals?
I don't think it will, because the electorate in New Hampshire is not as evangelical as it is here. But that's the thing about this process. It's a process. Iowa's first. It's not the only one. You got Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, kind of a package. I'm waiting to see, when do we get this to a Cruz-Rubio battle for who faces off against Trump?
Do you think Trump's got some staying power because of the same sort of effect? It's not like the star show doesn't appeal in other states, right?
Right. No, the star show does, and in some of these other states, he won't be spending as much time. You can get away with a star show. You know, once this moves out of the these four early states into the southern regional primaries, then it becomes a tarmac to tarmac game, and you can fly that plane around. And so it may continue to work for him, for Trump.
Were you surprised at all at his concession speech last night that he was actually a grown up?
I was.
Yeah.
I mean, the joke was, what will he say about Iowa if he comes in?
Right. I was right. You people are stupid. Remember that line?
Right. Yeah.
He said he was going to buy a farm.
Yeah, that was his last line. I may come back here and buy a farm.
Yeah.
Nice little 6,000-acre place somewhere.
I'd love to see a farmer take him to the cleaners. More with David Yepsen in just a second. Back live from the Media Center in downtown Des Moines. With our friends from ABC News Radio, Pat Brady's here, and David Yepsen, the director of the Paul Simon Institute at SIU Carbondale. What do you do there, by the way?
Well, Paul started this when he left the Senate in 1997, and we work on civic education, we study reform issues, we do public opinion polling, try to continue the things Paul championed in his career.
We have a tremendous lack of understanding when it comes to civics. And it always comes up in a big way during an election year, and particularly during a presidential year, because candidates will stand up and they will shoot something out that has no chance of being done as a president. And there seems to be this great disconnect with voters between what a president can do and the lack of understanding or the connection that Congress has to approve it.
Right.
And that was basic civics when I was going to school. You know, it just seems to not be a part of it anymore.
Well, a lot of that stuff has been cut out of curriculums. You know, putting all the emphasis on science and technology and math.
We got a Schoolhouse Rock, everyone, again. Remember that?
I'm a bill on Capitol Hill.
That's exactly right. I don't want to keep talking about Trump, but one other point on Trump that I think is worthy of discussion, especially to get your perspective on it. He skips the debate. And the geniuses from all the news networks go, brilliant move. Look how he handled that. I don't think so.
No, it was a mistake. Well, we know what he was doing. They said he was brilliant because he's the front runner and he would just do nothing but take hits. But this is a guy that had been taking hits in six debates before. To blow off the last debate of a campaign came off as a little arrogant. And I think it did turn off some people in Iowa. This is a place, like most campaigns, where voters expect you to show up, get in the arena, give and take, and... He just he copped out.
How about putting money in the tray at church? I mean, did that stuff catch up?
And the two Corinthians.
Two Corinthians,
yeah. Cruz had a great, we used that a great, the joke line, you know, two Corinthians walked into a bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, apparently neither of the Corinthians showed up to caucus for him last night. Let's talk about the Democrats. This was, he is razor thin, yes. That close. What'd Bernie Sanders do to get over here?
Well, he tapped into a whole lot of anger in the Democratic Party. The left is very unhappy with Obama's presidency. They didn't get what they wanted on health care. There's war still going on. And Bernie Sanders, not only here, but all over the country, is tapping into a lot of that angst. Steve, I actually think Bernie Sanders had more people at the caucuses than Hillary Clinton did. But because of the system that Democrats use, where they award, they count delegates. The numbers you see are delegate, how many estimates of how many delegates they won. If Bernie Sanders is packing them in college towns, you know, whether you win the 30 delegates by 50 votes or you win them by 500, it's still 30 delegates.
And the delegates were a push last night, right?
Yeah, and a lot of them, there were some of them, a number of them that she won with a coin toss. So I think Bernie Sanders comes out of here having done a pretty good job. Now, Hillary Clinton, I think, dodged a real bullet here. Had she clearly lost, this would have been a big setback for her. Right now, she can go and said and claim that she won a very narrow victory, but she doesn't get any momentum or buzz here. Hopefully, she limits the damage that's going to happen to her in New Hampshire.
Did you think it was an odd move with it being so close that the Clintons, they declared victory at like 9 o'clock last night?
Well, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you spin the game. And so, and Rubio.
But the spin has to be bought by the national news networks, and they were wondering why she did it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't sign on.
No. But what's the alternative? Go up and declare you're a loser?
Well, maybe you don't say anything, right? Or so you thought it was okay?
But then, yeah, because the danger in that is that Bernie Sanders gets a chance to go out there and claim a victory. So,
should he have waited to be the last speech of the night?
Well, I don't think so, because you know, you get late in a national audience, and that East Coast television audience starts going to bed. So a candidate wants to get out first. I think the guy who handled it well last night was Rubio.
Right.
He finishes third. He's the first one out to start talking, upbeat, optimistic, let's go. I mean, it's very similar to what Bill Clinton did when he came in second in New Hampshire in 1992. You know, the comeback.
He lost by 8 points, right?
Yeah. You know, you'd have thought he won the election.
I was mentioning to Pat, though, can we talk to Rubio about, we know you're excited, we know you're all hopped up on sugar like the other kids, but you can't do a 30-minute speech when you come in third. Cut that sucker down just a little bit. Give me a solid 8, maybe a solid 8 to 10. Moving on to New Hampshire, a vastly different state, but very proud of themselves in a lot of ways and what political rebels they are. Are we going to see surprises there?
Well, that's New Hampshire's, you know, is known for that. I think the thing that you'll start to see is there are going to be some more of these candidates who drop out of this race. Some of them are walking wounded. They're out of gas, and they're not going to have any donors. I wonder what happens to Bush at this point. How does he come back out of Iowa with a few points and get a campaign going?
And the amount of money he spent.
What happened to him here?
Well, you know, that's one of the stories that I think is interesting, and that the money, we all were saying, oh, there's all this super PAC money, and money will get dumped in here. And at the end of the day, what won was ground games with shoe leather. And frankly, Steve, there's something that was kind of heartening about that. Americans are tired of TV and all that manipulation. And if you had a real human being knocking on your
door.
Shake
my hand.
Yeah, that counts for something. I told somebody yesterday, a Chicago alderman would understand how to win this game.
That's a good point.
It's amazing.
And if they didn't actually win, they'd figure out a way to do it anyway. What were you saying, Pat?
No, it's just amazing when the voters actually speak. I think we've been saying that for a couple of weeks. It's a lot different than what the pundits might suggest. And we saw it in person last night. It was very cool to watch.
And it's refreshing, isn't it?
Yes, very refreshing.
Because with all of us in the punditry business, the donors, the media, we're yammering, and you sort of get people get tired of it. These are grassroots Americans.
The kid I talked to from
the Democratic Party showing up.
Exactly. The kid I talked to from Tokyo actually had joint residency, and he was really jazzed up to go vote, and he wanted to know how to do it and how to do it right. So it was fun to talk to him.
Well, that's cool. I'll let you go on this. Nothing would thrill me more than a complete frenzied car crash of two brokered conventions. Look, a boy can dream. And I don't see Bernie being able to last that long. I certainly see the Republican thing being able to play itself out. But what do Vice President Biden and Michael Bloomberg do this morning? Do they keep a bag packed by the door?
Well, certainly Biden. The Bloomberg thing, I mean, he's going to spend a lot of money, and a lot of high-paid consultants are going to come back and tell him, you know, third-party candidacy isn't going to work, right? But Joe Biden, there's a lot of Democrats are having a hard time sorting this out. Both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton have big negatives. You know, her unfavorables are through the roof, and Bernie Sanders, you know, he's got to start telling people how he's paying for this stuff. And Clinton never really pushed back against him.
Yeah.
Because she figures she's going to need get the Bernie people and doesn't want to make them mad. Well, now we're going to have that argument. So Democrats are evenly divided, at least here in Iowa, over because they've got some each. It's a hard decision. Each candidate's got pluses and minuses.
Now she's locked into not attacking him for a lot longer time now, right?
Well, we'll see what happens in New Hampshire. I certainly think by the time we get to South Carolina, if he wins in New Hampshire, she's going to have to start taking him on.
Pat made the great point the past couple of days, and you were talking about this in regards to the opinion by the Democrats of the Obama presidency and certainly minorities of the Obama presidency. And Pat's point was, hey, we're doing fine, and you need someone who's steady is not exactly hope and change. So how's that going to fire up a crowd?
Well, it's...
The non-aspirational Hillary Clinton, you know, doesn't fire folks up.
No, that's right. And she's the past. Jeb Bush is the past. Americans right now are looking forward. I mean, it's pretty rare for a party to get a third term in the White House, and especially when a president's job approval rating is as poor as Obama's. Reagan's was much better than when George Herbert Walker Bush won in 88. And so I do think that the Democrats have a real challenge here in coming up with a candidate who can excite voters.
What was former President Clinton's impact here in Iowa?
Oh, I think he helps fire up the base. Most activist Democrats have fond memories of those times.
Right.
I'm not sure the general electorate thinks as much. There it's a kind of a case of, oh, why do we have this hanging around us? But, you know, he helps turn out a crowd. He spent a lot of time campaigning here for both this time and last time.
Do you think Secretary Clinton will be pushing a baby carriage through New Hampshire? The grandchild references.
The grandbaby references are getting more often, more frequent.
That's not a bad idea. You know,
yeah. I thought it was one of those carry, you know, the pouches when you put
sure.
it out in front.
Yeah.
of you.
Sure, that's a good idea. You know, you should send her a bill for consulting.
I will. Yes.
And you know, the other point you just made, which rings really true. 28 of the last 36 years, you've had a Bush or a Clinton in the White House. So maybe America's just sick of both of them.
Well, that's what Barbara Bush said. Long time ago, the country's tired of all the Bushes.
We've had enough Bushes.
We did fight a revolution to avoid royalty, right?
Right, right.
So great to see you.
Good to see
and
you.
And I know you'll
Thank
be
you.
On with Rick Pearson on Sunday.
I'll be there.
Rick Pearson with the Sunday Spin. We got to take a break. We'll come back. Andre is running around in a blizzard, and I mean literally a blizzard, in downtown Des Moines. We'll see if we can find her with Nanook or whoever she's hanging out with in a moment on 720 WGN. And it's time for the big story. Andrea Darlis is standing by. Let's find out together if she actually made it two blocks to Java Joe's coffee shop or if she's stuck in a snowbank in downtown Des Moines. Here's Andrea.
Oh, my God. I seriously look like Dr. Zhivago and I just walked through the tundra. I walked two blocks.
La, da, 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 da.
I'm telling you. First of all, I think I'm the only person. Does it sound like I'm in an echo, honestly?
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're probably it's probably the hypothermia and the frostbite.
No. Well, I walked into Java Joe's, which was packed yesterday. Remember we did the report?
Yep.
Rick Santorum was here. Rick Paul was here. Everybody and their brother was here. You couldn't even get into this coffee shop. I am the only soul in the coffee shop today. They said, I sat down, I got a coffee. They said, please get something else. We have three people here. They just closed at Des Moines Schools, which is probably that's becoming the big story right now. So there's no school in Des Moines today, just for anybody who's listening. But, Steve, I'm telling you, what a difference a day makes. This place was packed yesterday. And I did just talk to the owner, and he said they always typically like this particular day because it's the day after. Things calm down again. Not like this. He said there usually are maybe a half dozen people, maybe a dozen people milling around the coffee house the day after the caucuses. But today it's Deadville because everybody's inside because of the storm. It's coming down fast, and it's coming down furious as well. But last night was a much different story. We actually went to some of the caucuses and spoke to a Hillary supporter and a Bernie supporter. This is a woman who was caucusing for Hillary.
And I'm caucusing for Hillary Clinton tonight.
How come? Tell me why.
Because she definitely has the experience. I like all of her stands on the issues. She's for early education. She's for making sure that we all have a fair and equal access to lots of different services. And I mostly think that her experience in foreign policy is something that we definitely need, given everything that's going on in the world today.
Where are you going to be caucusing?
I'm caucusing in Urbandale.
Okay, now, then we also talked to someone that where the race still very, very, very close to call was Hillary declared victory, actually, last night. But before that, this was a voter supporting Bernie Sanders.
I am caucusing for Bernie Sanders.
How come?
Like you said about young people, I think he's done a really good job at getting young people involved. And I think it's really important for our future president to be able to reach a younger audience. So in a general, that's one of the reasons.
Does he remind you of like a favorite relative or somebody that maybe you know in your family?
Not necessarily. I just think that he's very well spoken and knows how to, he knows what young people want, and he's been doing a great job at rallying young voters.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Can I get your name?
Kelsey.
That was a voter yesterday that we spoke to.
How old was Kelsey?
I would quote her at about 22, 23. Definitely early to mid-20s.
Yeah, the caucus that we were all at where that sound came from, were... I would say the majority of the crowd was 40 or under.
Yeah, let me ask the crowd today what they thought of the results.
Things a little quiet at Java Joe's.
I want more foam in my latte.
I guess you can just go behind a counter and get your own.
Hey, Puck to Tawny Phil saw his shadow, though. So
what's that?
Oh, good. Oh, no, wait. That means more winter.
No, that means spring.
Oh, that's an early
Groundhog
spring?
Day, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, he saw his shadow, and he was, okay, got
Pat
it.
Pat Brady's a full-service operation. He does the weather as well.
Boy. Okay, good. Have him come out here in the blizzard with me.
No, I got to drive home in about 3 hours. That's what I'm worried about.
All right, so.
Not going anywhere, man.
Andre Donis, we will pick you up at 10 from whatever snowbank you decide to just fall into.
Good. I'll be waving the red flag up in the air. Come find me.
More from Andrea on the street or back here with us at the Media Center in downtown Des Moines. Say goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Man. We will check traffic with Mary again here in just a second and then come back. The guests, it's funny, Pat Brady's here, and the guests we have scheduled to appear with us live here at the Media Center in Des Moines can't get to us because of the weather. So we may be taking a couple of phone calls as well as we go over what happened last night in the Iowa caucuses. If you're just getting your act together this morning, the big winners, Mary, and I know you bet heavily on the caucuses. The big winners were Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio on the Republican side, and it's hard to argue that Bernie Sanders was the big winner on the Democrat side. Certainly the loser of the night was Donald Trump, who almost finished third. He stayed in second place by a whisker over Marco Rubio, but he's got a lot of splaining to do, Lucy. And who am I missing, Pat Brady?
Hillary.
You can't really call Hillary a loser.
No.
She won. But she certainly didn't have the night that I think the Clintons expected her to have.
She had a 50-point lead 8 months ago.
Was it 50 points?
Yes.
Boy, that's not good. That's my in-depth political analysis of that statement. That's not good.
Has Dave ever seen anybody blow a 50-point basketball lead?
No, I don't think I have, Pat.
I was going to say, when you were a student at Northwestern, you may have, but you guys never scored 50 points back in those days.
No, that's not exactly true, but no, I still don't remember any. I don't think I've ever seen a team come from that far behind.
It would still be stunning if Hillary Clinton is not your nominee down the road, but there's a lot of long thinking going on in the Democrats' side of things this morning.
When they fired that plane up out of Des Moines Airport to go to Manchester, that was one quiet jet, I'm sure. That'd be a long ride.
Well, the hotel that I'm staying at here is the Clinton's Hotel, and they have blocked off two or three streets, and it was all pomp and circumstance and photo ops. They slipped out last night like a thief in the night.
Yeah, it was amazing. Remember yesterday we were standing there, it was 10 SUVs, and
right,
couldn't
right,
get anywhere
right.
near it, and yeah. They come this morning.
Last night
quiet.
They called an Uber.
UberX.
Yeah, definitely at UberX.
And I got into this 8 months ago. I had no doubt that it would be anything but a tough fight. And it is a tough fight. But I've always been drawn to a tough fight.
It's because of illness. Obviously, the voters are sick of me, and I need to acknowledge that.
You got to give Huckabee credit, that man. That's a good. Funny line. That was Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland, and Mike Huckabee. And Huckabee explaining that the voters are sick of him, so he's out. Rick Santorum's still hanging around, at least for now. You know, when all else fails, and I encourage you, if you have your own talk show wherever you are, when all else fails, and it's emergency brake last time and pull the handle, you never know. Spike Odell might turn up. Good morning, and live from Nashville, here's Spike.
Hello, kids. How are you after this ruckus cuckus?
You know, I got to tell you, we've had a very good time here with the fine folks of Iowa. Your people, as I like to call them.
Yeah, I tell you what, Iowa's the best kept secret in the world. I used to not want to talk about it because it would be invaded. It's a great place. I love Iowa.
Did you ever caucus with regularity?
No, I never lived in Iowa. I always lived in Illinois.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were across the river.
I would cross the bridge every morning to go to work over there. But yeah, big surprises last night. I've been following you guys, all your Twitter feeds and all your Facebook, and I happened to dial you up on the computer today down here, and I heard you say that your guest bailed out. So I thought, you know what? I can help him fill time. I made a living doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is still your show. I'm just filling in.
Well, that's not true, buddy. You're doing well. So you guys had fun out there.
We have had a good time. It is a full-on blizzard in downtown Des Moines right now. And I've got to tell you, everybody in Iowa that was here is now at the airport going, what do you mean my flight's not leaving?
Like they didn't see that coming. How much is on the ground out there?
It's supposedly 2 to 6 in the next 2 hours. So you're talking about 2 to 3 inches an hour falling.
Well, you guys are going to do your show all week from Des Moines.
Or parts of I-80.
What was the best part of that trip out there? Was it the world's largest truck stop
yeah.
in Walcott, Iowa?
Yeah, we stopped in beautiful Walcott, and I was struck by the sign pointing upstairs that said showers and dentist.
Oh, yeah. They got a dentist out there. We used to go out there and look at that like Disneyland. You know, yeah, we'd go out there for entertainment because you never knew what you were going to see. It's just like a crossroad of America that meets right there. That was fun.
There's it's like on 4 or 5 different levels, and it's as big as a mall. And if you go to the bottom level, there's 2 or 3 full 18-wheel semis inside the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great food, too. So, hey, did your candidate win or lose last night? I'm not asking you to make a choice live on the radio.
Well, no, I've made it very clear that I don't like any of them. I don't like any of the
Republicans. I'm not real enamored either. I get the Trump phenomena. I get the fact that he's not a politician. He's not politically correct. He's using his own money, blah, blah, blah. And if it were that, I might be able to support him, but it's the behavior and the demeanor. If you think about it, Donald Trump does everything. I mean, he's at the top of the polls or near the top of the polls by doing everything we taught our children not to do growing
That's
up.
Exactly right.
You know, belittling people, demeaning people, making fun of the way people look, handicapping. I just can't put a stamp of approval on that and put that in the Oval Office. I just can't do it.
No, you look at the people he offended in the past 6-7 months since he's been a candidate, and if he hasn't offended you yet, you need to call him and get on the list because he's got a schedule and he's got to keep it. You know, I mean, women,
yeah,
disabled.
It's like people don't care. It's like...
Well, they cared last night.
I don't understand. That really baffles me. That just baffles me.
Yeah, well, you know, the explanation we got from David Yepsen, I think, was a good one, too, because he brought up when Jesse Jackson ran, and it's the star show. You know, the people might show up to see the celebrity they see on TV, but it doesn't mean they're going to give up 2 hours of their night and go caucus for him.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about yesterday, Spike, which I think may have played out a little bit, too, is there are some people who may be in the same place I am. They don't know who they're going to vote for, but they know it's not Trump.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. And, you know, I just feel like more than any other time in an election cycle, I'm kind of lost. I'm not quite sure where to pin my allegiance. So, I've always admitted I lean to the right. I'm more Republican than I am Democrat. Although I got to tell you, working all those years on the air and talking to politicians almost on a daily basis during my career, I moved more to the center than I did one way or the other. You know, most people seem to go wacko left or wacko right. For me, I kind of went to the middle, kind of.
I agree with you. And maybe it's part of this job, but I've never been more in the middle. And the sensibilities of that are the far right and the far left are more the problem than the solution. And I think that continues to be true. I just wish, yeah. You think about, Spike, you think about the first or second job you ever had. You know, when you were working at the factory or whatever. You sit down with a job interview with somebody. And they look you in the eye, and you'd like the job, and you'd like to get paid, and you're there for a reason, and they'd like to find out something about you. This is the most important job interview in the world. We're interviewing these people to be president, and very few of them are acting like people that you want to give the job to.
Right. Yeah, I know it. I'm just such a political junkie. I watch the political news. I go back and forth. I've got four and five different channels on speed repeat, you know, and I just go back and forth and watch. Matter of fact, last night about 10:30, my wife yells at me from the bedroom. She says, "Aren't you coming to bed?" I said, "No, this thing's not over with yet." She says, "Who cares? You don't have to get up in the morning anymore." And I said, "Yeah, but I'm, you know, I just feel like I got to do it for some
reason." Yeah, well, that's the thing. What you do show prep for 20 or 30 years, it's hard to give it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it gets in your blood. I really, really enjoy the game. And I'm fascinated by what's going on this year. It's an abnormal election cycle, and I will tell you this. I will give Donald Trump kudos for the way he marketed himself. And if I ever have a business and I need someone to market it, I'm hiring Donald Trump to put my name out there, my brand out there, because. The boy's good.
I don't know, Spike. Your image is pretty good. I don't think I'd line up with Trump. But besides, your wife's way more attractive than Melania. You don't need those kind of problems.
Well, that is true. Yeah,
got that going for you. All right. So I just want to salute you on your friends in Iowa because they have treated us very well. And
it's just a great place. Great people. I loved Iowa. I really do love Iowa.
You know what's funny though?
Donald Trump's accept their campaign party speech, don't I?
Yeah, but you know what's funny? We rolled into town, and you know Chicago inside out, obviously. We rolled into town Sunday night, and what time we get here? 5 o'clock, probably, something like that? 5:30. The majority of the restaurants were shutting down Sunday night at 7 o'clock. So we had to scramble to find. This is the night before the caucuses, so we had to scramble to find a place to eat. And then secondarily, the thing that Pat, you and I were talking about, Pat Brady's here. Is in Chicago, there would have been revenue streams from every angle of this. You would have had a festival on every corner.
Yeah.
You would have had a concert in the arena. You would have had people selling souvenirs all over the place, and the city be taking a tax chunk out of every minute.
Writing parking tickets left and right.
Writing parking tickets. Pat rolled in the afternoon on Sunday, and he was looking for somebody to give $30 to hold his car.
It's free parking on Sunday. Oh, you're kidding me.
And I talked to somebody about it, and I go, I talked to somebody here about it, Spike, and I said, aren't you guys missing out on a lot of money? And they go, no, it's not about that. It's about the show. It's about the caucuses. So I think they got it right.
Yeah, I do, too. The whole demeanor, the whole lifestyle, it's totally different than the big city, but it's refreshing. I just always enjoyed that.
I'll let you go, but how many grandkids now?
Five, and due to surgical procedures, I think that's it. we put a cap on the plumbing, I think.
Okay. So. Five and holding.
Yeah, Michael's voice is an octave higher, but that's all right.
And as you know, I recently joined the club, so I'll see you at the meeting.
Yeah, hey, congratulations, Grandpa.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
Just getting some love all the time on that little baby?
Ah, she's beautiful. So beautiful.
What? You look a perfect fit with that. I've been seeing pictures. I'm proud of you, and congratulations to the whole family.
All right, you're the best. Thank you, Spike Odell.
All right, you guys, have fun in Iowa. Stop at that truck stop.
We'll pick you up something frilly. We're back after this with your news on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show is live from the Iowa caucuses. Nobody covers 2016 like 720 WGN.
Thanks again to our friends at ABC News Radio. Your voice, your vote. The caucus is 2016. We're in the Media Center in downtown Des Moines. And many of our guests scheduled to appear on the program today couldn't make it. But thankfully, our friends are showing up right and ready, including Rick Pearson. We just mentioned that Mr. Yepsen will be one of his guests on Sunday, and Pearson will join us in just a moment to give us some of his reflections and what he knows of last night's caucus news. And also, a very interesting new poll today in your Chicago Tribune and at chicagotribune.com on how Anita Alvarez might be faring going forward in the midst of a re-election attempt. I don't know, Pat, it surprised me. Before we get to the numbers, I thought it surprised you a little bit as well.
Yeah, you know what, you kind of dig into the numbers, she has a 50% disapproval and only 30% approval, but I think she's fought back effectively, saying that the people that are coming after her, President Preckwinkle and others, are insiders that want their own people in, and that's not what this should be all about. So I was a little bit surprised.
Not a lot to report in entertainment news today. Dean's off for a couple of days, and Andrea's running around Des Moines. But there's not a whole lot of entertainment news out there that we really feel you have to know at this time. Kate Winslet does admit that she left Jack to die in Titanic, and then the two of them giggled in a photo op at the SAG Awards. Cindy Crawford says she's not actually retiring at 50. She said, I'm not making any final statements. The news that she was retiring the other day came out. And Brian Williams apologized after a woman dropped an F-bomb during the Iowa caucus coverage last night.
There is some Steve Harvey news, though, don't you?
We do have Steve. Let me go live to my entertainment correspondent, Pat Brady, on this. This was just texted to you?
Yes. Steve Harvey has called the Iowa caucuses for Martin O'Malley with 58% of the vote, Hillary Clinton with 2% of the vote. Quite a surprise.
Once again, more to come later. Once again, we turn to Steve for facts.
We'll ask Pearson about that.
I'm just honored. I'm really honored. And I want to congratulate Ted.
Tonight is a victory for the grassroots.
I didn't even know they were still together. Remember the grassroots? Wow, Steve's been out in the cold too long. He's doing 60s band references. They even predated me. Let me go to Rick Pearson, standing by from your Chicago Tribune, a host of the Sunday Spin. You know, we just had your friend David Yepsen on. What a great guest he is.
Absolutely. One of the man who knows the whole history of the caucuses back and forth.
And he's going to join you Sunday with who?
With Matt Strawn, the former Iowa Republican chairman, and I've got some other people coming on as well, and we'll go over the results and look ahead to New Hampshire.
Matt Strawn will be on with us next hour again. He's been a big help to us here in Iowa as well. In the end, things proved to be a little more traditional Iowa than expected. Did you have the same thought?
Well, to me, you know, everybody talks every election about it's all about the turnout. It's all about the turnout. And, you know, a couple of things that were strange here is everybody had looked at it, well, if it's a big turnout on the Republican side, well, then that's Trump. That's turning out the new voters. And I think what we're seeing with that Cruz victory is the way that more and more things like analytics are being used to drive out, to turn out voters that won't necessarily turn out. The way that evangelicals came out in such massive numbers, and those votes went to Cruz, those votes went to Rubio. I mean, I think we're seeing some good old-fashioned Iowa politics, but kind of amped up through the use of digital metrics.
And the metrics piece was used to perfection with the technology that existed in 2012 in Obama's re-election versus Romney, and now 4 years down the road, obviously it's dramatically better, and it gets better week to week. Pat Brady made the point earlier, Trump's got to get on board with that and stop spending money on hats and start spending money on that.
Well, that and maybe some buses and some vans to get people to the polling place instead of just spending money on gassing up the 757.
Hey, Rick, I mean, you've watched this for a long time. We were talking about the impact of endorsements, and we never really discussed Sarah Palin.
Yeah, is she the candidate killer?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there again, I think it was not a matter of Sarah Palin as a politician, but Sarah Palin as another TV star.
Right.
I mean, this was and that's the other thing, too, is as much as we talk about kind of how this was a old tradition somewhat of Iowa turnout, of grassroots turnout, is, you know, you look at Trump running as the TV star, the TV celebrity,
again, you got to get people to turn out at this thing. And frankly, at a Republican caucus, it's a little bit easier because all you're doing is casting a ballot after listening to some speeches.
Right.
It's not like you, the Democratic one where you have to, you know, get into your different categories of supporters and your 15% viability rule and thing like that.
The people at Politico have a headline this morning, Donald Trump, 2016's first loser. Is that too harsh, or would you say it's the same thing? You're fired.
I know what Brady thinks of that.
Well, you know what I think of it as well.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm kind of back and forth on this. One, I mean, this is the first time a guy ever ran, and he's, you know, finishes second place in Iowa. That having been said, for all the braggadocio, who remembers second place? You know, so, yeah, I think it's a big loss. I think it's going to impact in New Hampshire significantly. And, you know, maybe after all of these times that we've said this, it's the beginning of the end.
Well, as Ricky Bobby said, if you ain't winning, you're losing.
That sounds like the new Trump bumper sticker.
Hillary Clinton just isn't a very good presidential candidate, is she?
You know, this was stunning. I mean, in some respects, I'd argue that this was a loss for Hillary Clinton, not a win. After going through that campaign of 2008 and everybody looking to see how she would change her style, try to appeal to the grassroots, to be nearly upended by a 74-year-old socialist from Vermont, that is not a good sign. And here again, Democrat, big turnout, lots of enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm is for Bernie Sanders. Yes, Hillary Clinton is, you know, has the paper, the resume, but the enthusiasm factor, it wasn't there in 2008, and it still doesn't seem to be there now.
Did you see that 80% of the voters under 30 went with Bernie?
Yes. And here again, you know, we talk about the youth vote, and of course that was kind of where everybody was waiting to see how, you know, Iowa City was going to vote, Ames was going to vote, where those votes were coming from. And, he was racking up huge numbers in college towns. And for a change, the youth vote actually showed up, and it mattered, instead of everybody talking every 4 years about how important the youth vote is.
Free college will do that for you.
Yeah, the great myth of free college, yes. Before we talk about the Tribune poll, which I want to get to here as well, which is of local interest, obviously, in the Anita Alvarez is the headline in all of this. They go to New Hampshire now, and then they move on to Nevada, South Carolina, or South Carolina, Nevada, depending on the party. All of this means somebody in the Democratic leadership has to be calling somebody else in the Democratic leadership this morning going, anybody got Biden's cell phone?
I don't know if it's that bad, but certainly when you look at New Hampshire and the fact that Sanders is up 20-some percent in the polling up there, and, of course, when you look back to 2008, after Clinton finished a basic third place in Iowa, New Hampshire helped bring her campaign back and extend that race. That doesn't look to be the case here. South Carolina is going to be another interesting situation, too, because Clinton didn't have great memories of South Carolina when she ended up there.
Bill stepped in
South Carolina, and you can be sure those headlines are going to come back as well.
All right, so in your Tribune, Chicago Tribune, ChicagoTribune.com, Anita Alvarez with an edge despite voter unhappiness with her. She's running for re-election. Talking a little bit of what you know of the polling results, this is your story. And were you surprised to see any of them?
Well, one of the big things, and she's up by 7 percentage points over Kim Fox, and then there's Donna Moore in third place, 26% undecided. This is all about name recognition at this point, and as strange as it is, most of the name recognition that Anita Alvarez has right now is on the negative side, the kind of the aftermath of the Laquan McDonald handling of the shooting incident and the charges against police officer Jason Van Dyke. So you have someone who is kind of upside down on job approval. People don't support the way she handled the McDonald case. Nevertheless, more people know her than they do her opponents. And so as a result, she's got a 7 percentage point lead. But as I said, quarter of the vote still undecided. Her two challengers, Kim Fox, former chief of staff to Tony Preckwinkle, a lot of people don't know her. They don't know Donna Moore. This is a very fluid race. And, you know, it's one that we will see getting more and more attention. Both opponents, Fox and Moore, are using the kind of anger over the McDonald shooting as kind of driving points to attack Alvarez.
Yeah, and speaking of name recognition, the one thing that jumped out for me is if we all were grouping Alvarez together with Rahm Emanuel and throw the bums out, it appears the anger and the vitriol for Rahm is much more specific. Is that because everybody knows Rahm and maybe everybody doesn't know Anita?
Well, people do know Anita, but it's more, I think, Emanuel is the name that everybody associates with Chicago and with the McDonald incident. And so, but there again, you know, even in our polling there, the mixed results you had of the fact that people didn't want to see him resign by a narrow margin, that was kind of an interesting result given the negatives he has.
Hey, Rick, I know the mayor was out trying to sell bonds in New York yesterday, but when he was away, I'm kind of hearing rumblings of people lining up to run in 3 years.
Well, I'm not surprised about that. I think most people would have to say, given his numbers, it would be very surprising to see him politically able to run for a third term. But, you know, I also wondered when you look at those numbers in the poll, on his trip to New York, what the potential bond buyers written as well as when we look at the kind of crisis in confidence that the poll showed in Emanuel's leadership.
Are we going to have CPS news today?
Well, we already know CPS about the fact of the leaders and the Chicago Teachers Union rejecting the contract. So, I mean, I don't know what the next step is going to be as far as what happens there.
Is it a strike vote next? Or?
Well, no, it moves to a procedure. There's still a legal procedure. We're not anywhere close to a strike vote.
Okay.
More from Rick Pearson. He'll join us later in the week, but also, of course, Sunday with the Sunday Spin, 7 o'clock, best political talk on the radio from your best political writer in the business, Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, and here with us. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Stay home.
Thank you. And to follow him on social media at Rap30. We'll come back, get your big story next, unless Andrea has been taken in for the hypothermia-frostbite combination. She's obviously suffering running around downtown Des Moines. Back after this with that, the big story with snowbound Andrea Darlis on the streets of Des Moines. Where are you now?
You know, I actually am on the streets of Des Moines. I was at Java Joe's Coffee House. Yes, here's my theme. Yes. I was at Java Joe's Coffee House, season, being the only person there, myself and the owner, felt like an episode of Cheers. Everybody knew my name. It was true after the hour I spent there. But truly, post-caucus morning in Des Moines, I'm told, is always very quiet. This is just exceptionally quiet, though, because of all the snow that they're getting. We actually did get a couple of workers to wander in driving snow plows and salt trucks. The weather seems to have gotten a little bit better. It's not really blizzard-like anymore. I would call it sleet-like. But what it's given me the opportunity to do is literally walk around the city of Des Moines, talking to people the morning after the caucuses, on the inside portion, which is called the Skywalk. So kind of like we have in Chicago,
yeah,
the underground
sure.
tunnels that go from Daly Center to the Top Center. They have the Skywalk, which is above ground. And it's really cool little businesses and shops. And I talked to Scotty Harris, who's owned a shoe shine business, takes up two storefronts. He's been there for 31 years, and this is what he had to say.
Well, one thing that I see different today is the weather. And with the weather, every morning I sit here at 7 o'clock, greet everybody good morning. I see people who come to work at 8:30, They coming through here at 7:30 trying to beat the weather.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What do you think of all the hoopla in Des Moines yesterday because of all the political candidates here?
Well, I think a lot of people got let down, especially between Trump and
Cruz.
Hillary and Bernie. I think a lot of people got let down with that, too. But our is the start of something. You know,
today's another day.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
I love that guy. I love that guy. You know, simple, clean view of the world. I'm shining shoes. I'm watching people. I'm listening. People are a little let down.
And he was so upbeat. He was playing some gospel music, which he turned down a little bit so we could do the interview. But everyone, again, is stopping to talk about what happened last night, what's going to happen now. So, really, I know I was first in the nation. We're on to New Hampshire next. But it's really been quite an experience talking with everybody. And watching history in the making, which is what we did last night, Steve.
And you will be in New Hampshire this coming weekend.
I will, yeah. I'm going to leave Super Bowl Sunday, and I'll be in New Hampshire Monday and then Tuesday for the primaries.
And before we finish up here in Des Moines today, I want to play back another somebody that you met in the Skyway who was playing a little original music yesterday.
Yeah, I saved that for you. We can play that. I'm going to head back to you guys at the media center right now, but... Again, you know what, this has been an awesome experience. You know, we joke around about the weather, and it is snowing quite heavily here. But it's great just walking around and talking with everybody. It's like a coffee clutch on every corner.
For the four people,
today, though.
the four people still in downtown Des Moines include us and Andrea, and we'll get you a little caucus music from a Des Moines resident here, man and his guitar in a little bit.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What's our next move?
I might have something for the election.
The President of the United States may have gone AWOL from the military.
He never even showed up.
Those parts of his file they didn't like, they tossed in a wastebasket.
Do you have these documents?
Tonight,
we have new information on the President's military service.
Here's to a great story.
Hey, Mary, these blogs are saying that the memos can be recreated in Microsoft Word.
Several experts have raised serious questions.
They're going to start an investigation.
This is bad.
It's bad.
Clips from the movie Truth, which stars Robert Redford as Dan Rather and Kate Blanchett as its producer, Mary Mapes. Rather and Mapes will join us here. They're ready. Okay, good. Let's go to them now. Mr. Rather, nice to talk to you again. I hope you're well.
Oh, Steve, things are well. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you again.
We're actually in Des Moines, and before we talk about the movie, which looks fascinating on 100 different levels, any particular memories of covering the caucus? Because we're here on the night after, the day after.
Well, yes. I covered the Iowa caucuses for more than 44 years. And, look, the thing about Iowa is it generally winnows out the field, and we already see that happening. Right now, subject to change in a week after New Hampshire, you have a three-man race on the Republican side, Trump, Rubio, and Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
On the Democratic side, with almost a dead heat in Iowa, what Iowa means, I think, is that this is going to be a long slog in both parties and will not get decided until late spring, if indeed it gets decided any time before the conventions.
And that's probably good for this business. I don't know that it's bad for America, but time will tell. I want to get Mary Mapes in here, principal producer for CBS News and award winner, Peabody Award winner for the Abu Ghraib story and the Strom Thurmond family story, amongst other things. How did you feel, Mary, when they told you Kate Blanchett would play you in the movie?
I did think it was the world's most elaborate practical joke. I mean, I almost continued to think that up until the time Dan and I went down to Australia on the set because it just was, it's just, you know.
I think it's...
Unfortunately, it was sad, you know. They couldn't get someone attractive and intelligent. Right?
I think it's completely appropriate, and I think it's great casting. When you wrote the book that led to this movie, how much of it was just so emotional? And by that, I mean there's so much personal stuff in here as far as your career and the career you built and the stories you tell. How do you separate yourself from that and getting the word out and what it says about journalism now and in the future?
Well, when I decided to write the book, I was faced with the fact that I'd spent my entire professional lifetime begging people to tell me the entire truth about their situation, their lives, their problems, their worries, you know, their reality. And so I had to do the same thing with myself. I felt like I had to. I didn't want to write something that glossed over my rough parts or my difficulties or the things that made me uncomfortable or unhappy. I had to be sort of warts and all, because that's what I had, you know, spent so many years trying to get people to do for me. So that's basically what I did. But what I most wanted people to understand is that we crossed the Rubicon here with that event. And that was one of the first times we had seen with such clarity how corporate media, at the end of the day, whether they owned a barber shop or a journalism operation, they were going to react in the same way. They were going to protect the business as opposed to protect the truth. And I think one of the things I wanted people to understand was that the people who own the journalistic enterprises in this country have a greater obligation to their audiences and to the truth than they do to their bottom line. And I fear that we've completely lost that.
And Truth, of course, tells the story of George W. Bush's military service. The story behind telling that story is probably a better way to put it, and it's based on the book we're talking about, Truth and Duty, The Press and the President, and The Privilege of Power. You should get and consume both. The film is on Blu-ray and DVD starting today. Dan Rather is played in the movie by Robert Redford. And, you know, Mr. Rather, I always saw you, and I've told you this before, I always saw you as a transitional figure. People, I remember, gave you a hard time about the fact that you would question a little more differently, and you asked tougher questions in the news. And I saw you as an evolution in journalism from the great Walter Cronkite into what it is now. But I got to tell you, Dan, what it is now really scares me, because we're at a real nexus here at a time when there's great apathy in the public for politics and there's less money to cover it and less talented people to do it. We have the people that need to be watching the people in power not being able to tell that truth story to the people that need to hear it.
Well, I couldn't agree more. That you say you're scared. You ought to be scared. And in my opinion, which truth is not worth very much, I think every American ought to be a little scared, because we've reached the point where truth, which is never pure and seldom simple, the truth gets mixed in with a lot of posturing, propaganda, and outright lies. We can see it in the present presidential campaign, just day after day, night after night. And what I think citizens, consumers of news need to do is bring skepticism to everything they read and hear. Not cynicism, but skepticism, and question it and say, okay, that's what the politician is saying, or that's what the reporter is saying. Now let me think about it, get some more information, and make up my own mind about it. This is the very essence of running the kind of political system and kind of government. We have a republic based on the principles of freedom and democracy, a constitution, a republic. That's what citizens are supposed to do. It's very difficult, as you point out, in today's environment in which everything is entertainment-oriented. You watch the so-called debates. They're not debates at all, and we all know that. But we buy the lie. I use the word measuredly. Buy the lie that these are debates. They're not debates. They're entertainment shows. And as a consequence of that, substance very rarely even gets discussed.
What type of conversations do you have with Robert Redford, or he with you, about how to get him into this story? I mean, he's been a political guy forever, but he's you know, he makes no secret of his leanings, and he is much more liberal, and he's got to cover you as a journalist. Was that a stretch for him?
Well, I don't think it was a stretch for him, because, look, whatever one may think of Robert Redford in his personal life and his political activities, he's one of the great actors of this or any other generation. And when they first told me, they called me to say that Robert Redford was going to portray me on the big screen, I honestly thought it was a joke. I said,
the two of you.
Yeah, I'm gonna become the Pope of Rome. But he played the part. What I really appreciated about Redford in this film, and I defy anybody to go to this film and walk out and say that it wasn't well acted. It's beautifully acted, and it raises these important questions about journalism, political influence, and the meaning of truth. What is truth, and how do we get to the truth? It deals with the intersection of big media, big government, and big money. And therefore, I think it's an important film. I thought it was when it was on the big screen. I think it is on Blu-ray. Now, where we go with this now, where is journalism going? Right now, it's overwhelmed with entertainment values. If it continues down this path, then where are citizens going to get the information they need to make decisions on things like choosing the president?
It's a, as we said, it's a frightening time. Again, Mary Mapes' book, Truth and Duty, The Press, The President, The Privilege of Power, as I always say, Kevin, I don't know if you've heard me say this, buy two. You're careless, you'll lose the first one. But also, get it on Blu-ray and DVD today. Either one of you tackle this, and I'll let you go. Is there anything in covering the Bush military record story that you look back and go, you know what, that's one thing I wish we'd done differently?
I guess I wish we'd covered it earlier. I wish we had.
I was going to say, I wish we'd got it earlier. We made a swing at it during the 2000 election. This whole, what the movie Truth portrays is what happened during the 2004 election cycle. But we had a lot of information much earlier, and I wish we had gotten to it earlier. But, you know, in journalism, you learn early. You do your best. You try to be an honest broker of information. You try to be a witness to history. You recognize you can't do it perfectly. Nobody does any story perfectly. We didn't do this story perfectly, but we did get to the truth. We got to the facts of the story, which is, I think, what you ask of journalists and all you can ask of them.
Well, listen, I know Dan Rather would agree with me, Mary. A salute to you and to all producers who do all the background work and get very little of the credit and put these stories together. And I have great respect for both of you and the work you do. And thank you for taking the time to talk about this.
Thank you, Todd. No worries. Thank you very much.
It's called Truth, Blu-ray and DVD today. Based on the book Truth and Duty, The Press, The President, and The Privilege of Power, Mary Mapes and Dan Rather. You know, Redford's about 80. Is Rather in that ballpark? Rather's got to be getting close to that, isn't he? I would think. He's 84, so he's a little bit older. And they both thought it was hilarious that Cate Blanchett and Dan Rather. You know, I don't know. Listen, I can't identify with that because Clooney's playing me in the movie.
The best political movie ever, The Candidate with Robert Redford.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, all the president's men, right? It covers all sides of it.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's take a break, come back, and do more here from... Oh, we got a Hawkopedia coming up, don't we? On 720 WGN.
WGN is live in Iowa, and the race to decide who will lead the greatest nation on earth is on. Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Andre is back from the tundra. The weather has gotten a little better here in Des Moines if you're traveling. It looks like the storm track continues to be on an angle out of Iowa, cutting up into south central and then northern Wisconsin, and kind of headed for Green Bay.
Yeah, we've seen some weird weather today. It was perfect when we started the show. Then the blizzard came, and I say blizzard because it came down so fast.
It really was a blizzard.
When I was at the coffee shop, they said they were predicting an inch or two an hour until 1 o'clock this afternoon. But
right.
Thankfully, that's kind of tapered a little bit. It's kind of just sleet now. Just sleep.
For those of you listening on I-80, you could tell us, but I think we're actually going to be fine headed back to Chicago, where we'll be in studio tomorrow. One of the people that's been a big help to us in the couple of days we've spent out here is Matt Strawn, former RNC chair, who joins us now. You know, Matt, one of the great points you made yesterday when you were on the show was, and you know, the national media and we as well, we kind of missed this until you brought it up, is that it's not so much about who's speaking, but it's about the person speaking and what they mean to you at the caucuses. And we sort of got an eyewitness to that last night at a couple of the caucus events we attended.
Yeah, and it's we saw that up in my precinct. I'm in a suburban precinct just north of Des Moines. And, you know, we had the local state representative who had served this area for a decade was the one who got up and spoke passionately from the heart about Marco Rubio. We had a local Afghanistan and Iraq veteran who stood up with a passionate speech on behalf of Ted Cruz and why he thought Cruz was the one to keep America safe based on what he had seen from his service abroad. And it's just so much more powerful when you have a neighbor peer voice making that closing argument. And And we were the epitome of what happened last night. You know, in my precinct, we finally crushed the numbers, and we had almost a 100% increase in turnout. And
wow.
It was almost exclusively driven by Cruz and Rubio Bowl. Donald Trump finished a very distant third in our precinct.
Matt, that was my question to you, too. Turnout, I mean, this was the first time that I had been caucusing or been to the Iowa caucuses, and where we were downtown, there were three Democratic caucuses, two Republican, and there were hundreds of people inside of the Iowa State History Museum. Turnout, I guess, in the outer areas just as strong or stronger than you even thought?
You know, it seemed to be, especially in the suburban areas, around major metropolitan areas, when I pulled into the church we were at 45 minutes before showtime, and there was already a line out the door. And then I found out that was just the new registrant table, not the table for those of us that were already on the Republican rolls. We had to print new ballots even a half hour before things started. So to give you some perspective, we expected about 280, and we had just about 600 show up. And it was, you know, it sounds corny, but it really was the best of the Iowa caucuses. Nobody was angry that we were starting late. Nobody was angry that there were lines. You know, people had brought their kids. You know, so I know we take a lot of guff sometimes as to, you know, why Iowa gets this privilege. I hope for the world that was watching last night, you know, they saw the best of, you know, kind of the best of democracy and the best of, you know, participatory grassroots government on display.
We saw that as well. People lined up, and the caucuses had to start at a particular time, and people were lined up, and the folks at the table were still processing. It would have been a fist fight in Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody was great. Everybody was cordial. You know, people were actually having fun, and they were doing their civic duty. It was pretty cool to see.
One lady I talked to, Matt, she was walking in with her five young daughters, and she said she wanted to bring her five girls to see this. None are of voting age yet, but that's a really cool experience because we can't really do that in Illinois. You can bring your kids to the polling places, but this is a chance for them to kind of see the process in action, so that's pretty cool.
Well, and how many times in Illinois do we do this? Oh, crap, I forgot I got to vote. And then you run over to the place, and you hope there's no line, and you go in. You should always hope there's a line.
Yes.
Every time you vote, you should hope there's a line.
Hey, Matt, sorry we didn't get up there last night. The Chicago hillbillies were driving around in circles downtown for a while.
Oh, yeah, it's my fault.
Well, that's what happens when you bring the guy from Bloomington with you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, it's so easy to get lost in Des Moines.
Hey, give us some perspective here just on the caucus on both sides and going forward. I mean, what's your take on the race? And give us both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think what you saw, especially in, you know, the suburban areas, which would be kind of the counties Mitt Romney carried 4 years ago here, the Rubio strategy of consolidating, you know, the Republican electorate that places pragmatism and electability. He ran 20 points ahead of the rest of the field on that. That's what I'm watching for, if he can take that boost of momentum and kind of make that case in New Hampshire over the next 8 days. And on the Democratic side, you know, I tell you, sure, it's a tie, but if Hillary can at best just tie a 74-year-old socialist from Vermont, I think she's got big trouble. Now she's got an organization. She has the money. She's going to be the presumptive nominee most likely. But I think there's a lot of Democrats that are lamenting their choice is going to be between that socialist and someone who will have a cloud of an indictment hanging over her for the course of the race.
And she's going to hang to the left of Chairman Mao for the rest of this campaign, and she to prevail.
Well, yeah, it's amazing, Pat. In the last Des Moines Register poll over the weekend, you know, 80%. Of likely caucus goers said that they would be comfortable supporting a Democratic socialist. And the pollster laughed, actually, when she was saying that, because that wouldn't even have been a question she would have thought to have asked 4 years ago. So I think it just signals that, you know, the extreme left is controlling the agenda and the debate that's happening in the Democratic primary.
Your old friend David Yepsen, who will be appearing with you on Rick Pearson's Sunday Spin on WGN Sunday morning, David brought up the point of Clinton / Bush fatigue. And, you know, we want somebody new. We want some new voices and some new perspective, along with being kind of a bad candidate and having her likability problems. Did you hear anything about fatigue during the run of this Iowa caucus?
Yeah, I did, Steve. And, you know, to give the Clinton campaign credit, from an organizational standpoint, they had learned their lessons from 2008. They were an incredibly well-organized campaign around the state. But the one thing that they couldn't change, that they couldn't improve, was the candidate. And, you know, for whatever reason, she just She just had trouble connecting with voters. And, you know, I tell you what, look at Governor Bush's numbers here. That's the same
awful
thing we heard time and time again on the Republican side from moderate business-oriented Republicans that, well, I love him. I'm sure he'd be great, but I don't know if we need another Bush. Unfortunately, the Democrats, well, fortunately for us, unfortunately for them, you know, they don't have other viable options like we do.
The Trump story is fascinating to me and really quite joyous. as I took a look at Politico this morning, and a headline said, Trump first loser for 2016. He goes to New Hampshire now and, you know, hopes the polling is right because he's got a significant lead there. But one thing we know, Iowa creates momentum positively and negatively. How much of a drag is last night going to be for him in New Hampshire, do you think?
Well, I know your sidekick Brady there is still torn up over Trump's failure to win last night.
We're both
hey,
in
Matt,
mourning.
Matt, we were at dinner last night, great restaurant downtown Des Moines, and I was had the
Splash, right?
Splash.
Splash?
Splash? Really,
give him a plug, yeah.
Really, really good. And I told Steve, I go, this is better than Christmas.
He was rubbing his hands together.
How many times during that dinner did I go, boys, come on. Be fair.
For the sake of the process, Trump going away would be swell, but it's not going to happen anytime soon, right?
No, it isn't. And, you know, but I think one takeaway, you know, Trump was selling the sizzle. You know, he wasn't selling the steak. And I think the closer voters get to, you know, making that final decision, Iowans found him wanting more substance, more opportunity to actually ask him questions to find out if these recent conservative policy conversions were authentic, you know, more respect for the traditional process. And the New Hampshire folks are even more cranky about respecting the traditions of the New Hampshire primary and actually getting a chance to look him in the eye, ask tough questions. So, you know, if he's going to have to put this thing back together, he's going to have to deviate from flying the plane over, you know, giving a thumbs up and throwing out a few catchphrases.
A mutual friend of ours at the Wall Street Journal told me the difference between Iowa and New Hampshire is they're very much similar, but Iowa people are nicer.
I'll take it.
I do have to say, you know, I know you're not a big fan of compliments because, you know, that's part of the way folks in the Midwest are cut as well. But aside from all the help you've given us, the people of Des Moines are everything that you've heard and everything they're cracked up to be. And I was really pleased to see that all of the predictions we had made about the playbook being rewritten and everything was turned upside down. Well, it didn't turn out to be true. Turns out you do have to sleep in Des Moines for a couple of nights. You do have to shake a couple of hands. And I think that's great.
Well, and the one thing that does stay true and constant is you can count on the Iowa caucuses to surprise you. And they did again in a way that, you know, not just I think when we were talking, everybody assumed that the new people turning out would be Trump votes, and they weren't. You know, my neighbor's a perfect example. He and his wife showed up at the caucus site with their five kids last night. They'd never caucused before. And I said, you know, what are you doing here? And he said, I just want to make sure there's two more votes against Donald Trump. And little did we know that was replicating itself across the state, you know, all last night.
That's why I think, and Matt, give me your take on this. This could be a house of cards that might fall quicker than everybody thinks.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll be curious to see how that plays out with the rest of the field. Because if you're someone like Marco Rubio, you know, he wants to make this a three-man race pretty quickly. He doesn't necessarily want it a two-man race right away. I think Marco Rubio probably needs Trump in there as a foil for a little bit longer to make sure, you know, those more angry conservative voices that would probably gravitate to Ted Cruz if we had a Rubio-Cruz matchup. So, you know, if he falters quickly, even though Rubio has the boost of momentum coming out of Iowa, you know, I think it's in Rubio's best interest for Trump to still hang around for a while.
I know that you can contact Mr. Rubio much more quickly than we can. As big a night as he had last night and as good as he handled things, can you tell him not to make a 30-minute speech for finishing third?
Well, was that about half the time that Cruz spent for finishing first?
Yeah, well, he was.
That was a filibuster. He was pretty pleased with himself, wasn't he? Yeah.
Hey, Matt, I went to the Trump.
His kids
Trump
left.
Speech.
Did you notice that? The kids just walked out. Yeah, Pat was live at the Trump goodbye.
I treated myself to a big Heineken, sat in the back row, and just watched the speech.
All right, we're done. We're done with picking on Trump. Again, thank you, Matt Strawn, and the former RNC chair, and David Yepsen. You're both going to be on Sunday on the Sunday Spin and in town for a couple of days. So whatever you need, just let us know.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a safe trip home.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Thanks. Good guy.
Great guy.
Yep, and very well done. In
number one in his law school class.
How do you get to know you?
Because I had a copy off somebody.
You were the guy going, move your hand.
Hey, Matt. Hey, no, we went to a different school. But, you know, he never practiced either. He was number one. He goes, I never practiced.
How about that?
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
You know, one of our guests who stood us up this morning, I noticed in the bio, got his doctorate at the University of Chicago and also attended Oxford. Dennis Goldford is who I'm referring to. And maybe that's why he didn't show up, because he heard you and I were here. But
Steve, the way I put it, I was going to go to Oxford, but I couldn't get in. So, you know, they wouldn't accept me.
Yeah, well, I was going to go to Cornell, and I never applied. But Goldford and Matt, is there something about Des Moines? I mean, because Goldford's a teacher at Drake. He's a professor at Drake. There's a guy with a resume you think he could take to any major university in the world. Matt with his number one in the law school thing. You know, it's that it's the smaller town, great Midwestern life that people have.
Family,
here.
The whole thing. And a lot of commentary about, I heard some of the elected officials say people from here, they go away, go to school or whatever, and then they come back.
Yeah.
Because the quality of life in Des Moines, no tolls, no traffic, and free parking on Sundays.
And I heard the state of Iowa actually has a budget.
I think
that is true.
Yeah.
I think they might have a surplus.
Budget, wait. What's that?
That's where
a
you figure out how
budget.
Much money you can spend.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Let's take a break and come back. More coming up. Steve Cochran. We're live in Des Moines, and we're apparently the only ones live in Des Moines.
We are the last. This is funny. We are. I can hear. Can you hear the
chairs? Hear an echo. 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 Here in the media center on 720 WGN.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
It's Hawkopedia. It's sponsored by the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks, Fresh Wave. Remember Fresh Wave's slogan, from Chicago to Des Moines and back, if it smells funny, spend your money on Fresh Wave.
No.
That's not it?
No.
So it's just a deodorizer?
Yeah.
Here's Dave.
I didn't think we should let All-Star Weekend pass without one last tribute to John Scott.
Yep.
One of the best, if not the best story to come out of the All-Star game, which started out as a joke, Steve, saw Scott chosen captain of the Pacific Division team in the new 3-on-3 format. In fact, he was the leading vote-getter in online fan balloting. Scott was then traded by Arizona to Montreal, which sent him to the American Hockey League, and the NHL asked him to step aside as an all-star, but he declined, even writing an article we talked about it Friday, which he detailed the league's efforts to persuade him not to play.
Including telling him to think about his children.
Mm-hmm. Would your kids really be proud of you if you played?
Bad move.
But by now, you probably know what happened.
And who got that goal, folks? Who got that goal? Big John Scott.
There he is. And that didn't take long. He's getting a standing ovation here.
Six celly to boot.
That was the first of two goals for Scott on Sunday. The team he captained won the 3-on-3 tournament. So it seemed fitting to recount his somewhat brief time with the Blackhawks. He was signed as a free agent in 2010 by the newly crowned Stanley Cup champs. He signed a two-year deal. In 2011, he appeared in 40 games for the Hawks. The following season, 29, before being traded in a deadline deal with the New York Rangers. In his two seasons with the Blackhawks, Scott appeared in 69 games with no goals, two assists, and 120 penalty minutes. Sunday, Scott was named MVP of the All-Star Game, winning a new car and a share of the $1 million prize to the winning team.
It's great.
His agent has reportedly been approached about a film deal. And the Hockey Hall of Fame announced yesterday that Scott's All-Star helmet has been sent to the hall, where it will be on display.
Gee, I wonder if his children should go look at it.
They were there on Sunday. They were there.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, well done by you. Would that be the Hawkopedia?
That's our Hawkopedia for today.
Sponsored by Fresh Wave. If it smells funky like a monkey from Des Moines, use Fresh Wave.
No.
That's not it either,
no.
Is it?
No.
No, it's just the official deodorizer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably it. Let's take a break, come back. We have a singing Iowan, a Des Moines guitar-playing fool from the Skywalk here. The Skywalk here is about 9 miles of interconnected walkways. If you've ever been to Minneapolis, you know they have a similar system there.
Skywalk is awesome. I mean, it kept me warm and out of the snow today. And,
well, with my broken GPS in my head, you know, it's funny. Devonta's has the same thing, I guess.
She does. She's got
Devonta's
a weird...
walked us around in the wrong direction about 15 times.
Yeah, the first...
But she doesn't know it yet. She still asserts herself.
Yeah,
the first night we were here, she said, yeah, you know what, I have this great... It actually turned out to be about a block away from our hotel, but we circled all of Des Moines, got a real nice tour of the city center, and then found it. She went, oh, here it is. And we looked left and went, wait, there's our hotel.
Well, I parked in a parking garage like 3 blocks from our hotel and tried to take the Skywalk back.
Yeah.
And I ended up at the IDS Tower in downtown Minneapolis. So
I
was a long ways away.
Yeah.
We'll come back. You'll hear that guy sing before we're done. And we'll give you one last wrap-up from here. Pat Brady's here. Andrea Darlis here. Kevin's taking care of business. And we're here, courtesy of our friends at ABC News Radio. Live in Des Moines, we continue on 720 WGN.
No talk.
The Steve Cochran Show.
No action.
And no good rotten traitor.
This guy's favorite radio broadcast.
You're right about that.
Has traveled to Iowa.
I think they made a mistake.
To bring you live coverage of the Iowa caucuses.
A total lightweight.
Back to Chicago's top-rated morning show.
Here's a guy. He's registered zero in the poll. Zero.
On 720 WGN.
For some reason, some people don't get it.
I want to thank Chris Duffy. Duffy is a twisted genius who lives in a tiny room with poor lighting and comes up with those type of things all the time.
But he always has mints. Mints and candy in his little
mints, candy, and a way to abuse me. Right, and I salute him on all three.
Right next to the lava lamp.
We have a lot of people to thank before we wrap up, but make sure I don't forget Josh Cohen and Jeff Fitzgerald from ABC News Radio. Give them a round of applause. Fine job. And their deadbeat cohort, Wayne Fisk, back in New York. Wayne and I went to college together.
I figured
Remember
as
that?
Much, yeah.
And I wasn't that fond of him then. Oh. And then when I found out he wasn't coming to Des Moines, oh, what a heartbreak. No, I love Wayne.
Wayne's great.
We spent time together in 1979 and 1980 that really meant a lot to Wayne.
He forgot about it, didn't he?
And then we worked together. I think he worked at the same radio station I worked at. There's a radio station in upstate New York, in Ithaca, New York, where I grew up, called WTKO. 1470 WTKO. And I think Fisk worked there as well. He may have been fired before I was, because I wasn't fired. It was like 3 or 4 years before I had my first firing.
Was that your first firing ever?
Not at TKO. I was fired.
Okay.
The first firing was Miami. You never forget your first. I had just made the big leagues. I was 24 years old, making, you know, nice money and all that. And that was my first firing. I had worked on the radio station for 2 weeks. But here's the thing. It wasn't my fault.
Of course,
it was other people.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, thanks to Josh and thanks to Jeff and no thanks to Wayne for everything ABC News Radio did for us in the past couple of days, which is great. Meanwhile, back at the radio station, young Ross Cochran getting it done.
Yep, getting it done.
And Bob Ferguson and Ben. What name is Ben giving to the authorities now for his last name? Because I know he's on the run from the law. Is he going with Cortez?
I think he's comfortable with
Cortez, though that's not his real name. And Griffin Filipich. Griffin doing a nice job as well, so we thank you, Griffin, for that.
And can I thank, too, Vic Vaughn, Ryan Burrow, Kim Gordon. Awesome help to me in the newsroom, feeding lots of audio back, which they were turning over very quickly for us as well. So thanks to them.
If you go to WGNradio.com/election now and all year long, that's where we're going to post everything that we do on the road. And live blog, tons of photos and videos there. And, of course, the past couple of days made much more entertaining and somewhat informative by our friend Pat Brady.
That's very true, very true.
Thank Pat you. Brady, where do you work, Pat?
Next Generation Strategies.
And that is a front for some tax dodge, or what is that?
Lobbying and media relations.
Lobbying, media relations for politics of all kind.
Politics and corporate. Mostly my clients are corporate.
Oh, they're corporate tips. Okay.
Yeah. We're lucky we got him. You don't see him on Chicago TV anywhere.
You know,
I was teasing
funny.
Him last
well, no,
night.
No, but he's a handsome devil, and a lot of the TV guys go, hey, let's get Pat on.
Yeah.
Because you know everybody.
No, but, you know, now we're talking. I do want to thank Ro Khan.
For?
Taking me out on an excellent adventure on Monday night. and showing me the city of Des Moines.
Which none of us went on, by the way.
I've never been so tired in my life.
Full disclosure.
Pat and Rogue Con were hanging out at the Marriott in the bar where all the whoevers
ladies.
Were.
Well, the young ladies were approaching Rogue because they recognized him from television, and I was trying to convince them I was Ryan Cheverini, and that wasn't quite working out, but it was still fun.
And thanks to Roe and Anna and everybody. And did they get back safely? I assume they did. Kevin goes, whatever.
Yeah, right. Oh, thanks to Rob Martier, too, because I know he's listening as well for all his help.
Right. And, of course, Grzanich. We couldn't have done this without Grzanich. And Todd Manley and Jimmy DeCastro
right,
for letting us work here.
Yep. Yeah. And Stephanie.
Yeah, and Stephanie as well.
We should thank everybody.
Matt Strawn.
Do you have the phone list? Do you have the phone list so we can just go through
Marta
the phone list?
Marta cleans up our garbage. She's awesome.
Got to thank Matt Strawn, too, because he directed us to a lot of the right places.
I don't like him.
Because we're leaving. We won't forget his number for 3 years.
I like Matt as well.
Should we play the song?
Yes. Yesterday, you were running around talking to people, and you found a guy with a guitar.
Right. I was doing all kinds of interviews, met some awesome people in the city of Des Moines, people at Java Joe's, at the Juice Bar as well. And then through the Skywalk, I was just interviewing various people who actually were on their way to go caucus and ran into this gentleman.
You know, my dad was a newspaper man, and it just kind of comes naturally to me. I've never been one to think about, well, does my vote count or my vote not count? It's just kind of something we've always done.
Let me ask you this, too. Iowans are very proud of being first in the nation.
Oh, buddy, I know that's right. Some people hear about the state of ours and tend to put it down. And people tell me I'm crazy for wanting to hang around. People might think we're out of touch, but that's all right by me. People are free to think as such, and I just let it be. I just laugh and smile because I know there's no other place I'd rather go.
That's good great. I got good serenade.
I don't even remember the guy's name.
I don't remember.
Guy
don't
with
even,
a guitar.
You know, I have it on my phone. He was great, though.
Yes, and when you come to Iowa, hire him for your birthday
there
parties
you
or
go.
Your bar mitzvahs. We'll come back, wrap it up from here in Des Moines, and Bill and Wendy coming up, too, on 720 WGN.
It was very, very close. Remember, this is a caucus. It was very, very close. It was called by a coin toss.
And we will go on to easily beat Hillary or Bernie or whoever the hell they throw up there. Iowa, we love you. We thank you. You're special. We will be back many, many times. In fact, I think I might come here and buy a farm. I love it.
It's just a boy in his dream, but I would love for a farmer to take Donald Trump to the cleaners. I'd like to see him sell him a farm with a sinkhole right in the middle of about 40 acres. Pat Brady, before we leave this, we've talked all morning about what happened. Let's look forward to what might happen. Going to New Hampshire, vastly different. We think Trump has a big lead in the polls. Will he win?
I don't know. I think he might have a house of cards here. It's a different different group of people in New Hampshire, and these are momentum contests. It goes very quickly now, and you pick up momentum, and these polls can change. They have huge swings overnight. I've seen it in 4 or 5 cycles now. So I'm not sure, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I wouldn't predict he'd win right now. I'm more or equally interested to see what happens with Hillary and Bernie. If he can meet expectations, have a 10 or 15-point win. If he doesn't, she can pull a bill and claim victory and then move on to South Carolina.
Is John Kasich's momentum real in New Hampshire?
I think so. He's gotten a lot of endorsements. It's a totally different ballgame. You could separate these two. It's a totally different ballgame.
But the momentum is real.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I say. Other than the momentum you gain coming out of here, the big headlines, I think Bernie sufficiently blunted her headlines out of here claiming victory. And the headline last night was less about Trump. It was more about Marco Rubio. I think
I equated Jeb Bush and his terrible campaign with Mayor Giuliani and how his strategy was to jump to Florida and blow off everybody else. What does Bush need to pull in New Hampshire to stay in the game?
I think he's got to have a
third place
and a strong third place. Or I have to imagine right now the money people are going, okay, that's enough. People are going to get together after that New Hampshire primary and pick a quote-unquote establishment candidate. It might be Kasich.
I think
right
he has
now,
to get a little excitement going, too, because Anna and I went to a Jeb Bush rally. Wow. Not a lot of cheering and
yelling. Not a lot of rallying in the rally?
Not a lot of rallying, not a lot of excitement in that room.
Matt Strong pointed out earlier, we talked about it. I just don't think that it's a generational thing, and it's a bad last name.
Well, and it's not that he's not qualified, and it's not that he probably couldn't do the job, but it's not going to happen unless there's some miraculous change going forward. Bernie has to start explaining how he's going to pay for his dreams when?
After New Hampshire. But maybe he doesn't, because when you're getting the numbers he got here saying what he's been saying, which we all know is unless the money tree starts falling, can't happen, and then Hillary singing from the same, using the same playbook, I don't know if they ever change.
And what about Ted Cruz leaning so hard on the evangelicals when they're few and far between in New Hampshire? Is it possible that he could be farther down there, I mean, like a third or a fourth or fifth?
Yeah, I think Santorum won here and then got fifth place the next week in New Hampshire, so he might be smart just to go straight to South Carolina, where the mix of evangelicals is more like Iowa.
Great having you here.
It's an honor. It's a thrill to do. You guys are great people. It's a great show. It was really a thrill. I was so fired up last night watching these people.
You were running around like a kid in a candy store. Yeah. But you're a good friend and a good friend of the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bill and Wendy standing by back at the tower, and we will be back at the tower in the morning. What are you guys up to?
We just got word from upstairs that Todd and Jimmy love you so much in Iowa, Steve. One more week there, so congrats.
Well, it's going to be great. We're going to do a little
That'll be fun for Steve.
We're going to do a little something called Des Moines Underground.
Oh.
What's that going to be?
I don't know. We can't find anything that's even scandalous here. We're looking for any scandal at all.
But we have a band now, so it's okay. He can just escort us wherever
we go. Yeah, well done.
It must have been exciting last night, though. All those Iowans stayed up past 9 o'clock. That was kind of cool.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was a little out of control. There's no question. These are really nice people.
Sure.
They're very, very nice people. You two would like them. I'm not sure they'd be fun to you, but you two would like
That's
them.
That's fine. That's all right.
What are you doing today on the show?
There will be some talk of what went on yesterday, and we'll take it
caucus,
from there.
Caucus, talkus.
Yeah. Wow, let's market that as well. And do you share in my glee that Trump lost last night?
Yeah, although...
I can't believe it.
He was more gracious. Something's up because he was extremely gracious during
his crock.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
You know what? I'm at a point now where Trump could be bleeding, and I go, "That's not real blood."
Speech at the end, Steve, was alarming because it was like an actor playing him. He doesn't seem to have that kind of.
I hadn't thought about that. Was that Daniel Day-Lewis or Meryl Streep?
It could have been.
But Steve was concerned about Melania.
Oh.
I would say Pat's concerns about Melania were more direct than mine. Wouldn't that be the case, Pat?
Yeah, she even looked good from a distance.
Yeah. On that note, thank you, Des Moines. Thank you, Des Moines, for a nice time, and we're off to New Hampshire to take care of that business. Andre will be there live next week. See you at the tower tomorrow. Here's Bill and Wendy.